Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 321, episode 3 of Dirt Daily's Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into American shared consciousness, and it is Thursday, January 18th, 2024.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which, of course, means Miles.
Oh, Jack, it's a day full of many meanings. So many things happening. It's National Thesaurus Day. It's Get to Know Your Customers Day.
What's another word for National Thesaurus Day?
National Synonym Book and Antonym Book Day. You like that?
Yeah, good.
Okay, good. National Winnie the Pooh Day. And also, shout out to the state of Michigan having a really good stretch of results for your teams. It's also National Michigan Day. So, yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. Lions, Wolverines,
mm-hmm.
Detroit Pistons got off the schneid.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That was big. Well, my name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Thighs keep on chafing into the future. I want to thigh with a kegel to the sea. Thigh with a kegel. Stop water ice causing pee. I want to thigh right into the future. That is courtesy of Lacaroni on the Discord. Get over it. It was a normal wet stain on my pants, Lacaroni. Yes. Find a new angle. Anyways, I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Miles Gray, a.k.a. Oh, I'm a dreamer. I believe it's because I'm smoking less weed. Shout out to the dreams. They're still coming. They're still rapidly hitting me, and they're beautiful, and they're wonderful. And thank you to everybody who I see dream-based AKAs. I will get to those. But first,
where'd
I just
you
had
journey
to
last night, Miles?
Oh, man, I had another one. I was driving with Her Majesty, like, down a street, and, like, I said something like cracked her up. It was, like, so mundane. But I just remember vividly, yeah. I woke up and it was like one of those things like, you were really liking that joke that I said. She's like, what the fuck? Okay, you're talking about your dream again. I'm like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I make my wife laugh all the time in my dreams only.
In my dreams, yeah. Sounds like a nice
in my fun. Dreams. Well, Miles, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a mm-hmm. TikTok superstar mm-hmm. and the author of the new memoir, I Survived Capitalism and All I Got Was This Lousy T-Shirt. Please welcome Madeline Pendleton!
Welcome, hi. Welcome. How are you?
What up?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me here, guys.
Oh, yeah. Great to have you. How's the book, you know, the book pushing world right now? You know, we have a lot of people on who have books coming out, and it always feels like some version of I am constantly talking about it, doing stuff about it and getting it off the ground. I saw that you had a goal of usurping Kiyosaki's Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And I saw that you did accomplish that. Have you fully usurped Dick Kiyosaki?
So what I've heard so far is that we are currently beating Rich Dad, Poor Dad in personal finance in a number of different charts, which is very thrilling to me.
Okay.
Because I have a personal vendetta against this book.
Yeah.
That's actually the only book I've ever read.
Really?
What's your problem with?
What's your beef with?
I actually never read it, but it's probably the book that I have neglected or like turned down people's advice to read. People be like, oh yeah, you got to read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, man. Fucking killer.
You are not missing anything. I remember I had the same experience when I like first realized maybe I was really broke and bad with money. And everybody was like, you got to read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And I read it and I was like, I'm sorry. The secret is that I need to buy apartment buildings. I don't really think that's feasible for me in my life. So do I just die then? And the book's like, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
You buy several apartment buildings or you die. Those are the two options. Yeah.
I remember when my dad got it, and it gave me low self-esteem about my own dad. Because I'm like, are you the broke dad? Like, what are you like? This is like loser behavior, kind of. Like, why are you reading this shit? Like, and it kind of made me panic. I'm like, oh man, my parents are fucked up. Like with money. I mean, obviously, we weren't the most financially literate group out there. But I remember at the end, he's like, you know, it's all about that passive income. You know, got to have that passive income. And I'm like, and how are you doing that? He's like, I don't know, bro. I'm a professor. I'm going to just keep doing this shit. Never got you what to I that read. Point.
Okay, your dad was the poor dad then. Because I remember reading it and I'm like, I'm sorry. The example of the poor dad is just like a teacher who has a good 401k and takes care of his family.
Right.
Like, this is my goal. Yeah. The guy that this guy is saying is
a
like.
A loser, Madeline. A loser.
Yeah.
You're describing.
My goal is to be a loser. That's what I want, I guess.
Sure.
I am sub-loser status if I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And I was like, I don't know. The poor dad feels like he's really got it going on here.
Right. No, for real.
Right.
Is there anything that like the book intersected with you personally, aside from just reading it, that you had a vendetta, or you just sort of realized that he is sort of perpetuating a mindset that is slowly degrading the quality of life for millions of people?
Okay, well, that's a big one. The thing you just said is a major one. But I also think that a lot of these guys, these like old school money guys, they wrote their books in the past. They're living in the past. Like, it's not the 80s. It's not the early 90s.
Right.
You know, these tips aren't even like economically feasible anymore. Like, forget buying an apartment building. Like, most people can't buy a house because all of a sudden single family houses are being bought by real estate investors. It's just a totally different ballgame. So these books are out of touch. They're ethically, I would say evil. I think evil. I would say they're evil. Yeah. They're morally unconscionable. I don't even know that word. Unconscionable.
No, you nailed it.
Unconscionable. Yeah. And so it's very, very frustrating. And I think like a lot of when you're trying to figure out money, like if you come from a place where you're like, my family wasn't super financially literate, you know, you're trying to figure it out. So much of it is about personal accountability. Like everything you read is just like, well, you're poor because you're a loser and you're doing anything wrong because you're so stupid. You stupid loser, loser, stupid, stupid. And it gets really hard to read these things.
Right.
And you're like, I don't feel like I'm a stupid loser. I feel like maybe life is just hard.
Right.
So
maybe if you'd tried a little bit harder.
Yeah. Quick loser test. Look in your garage right now. Are there three Lambos in there? No. Then guess what? L-O-S-E-R. Fucking loser.
Yeah.
Hold that.
Sub three Lambo loser.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Zero Lambo. Ouch.
I know, dude. Only Lambo I have is maybe in like a video game that I was playing recently. And that's all I need. You know what I mean? I don't have to maintain that.
You just need the GTA. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like finance people or like the people who read Rich Dad, Poor Dad love to tell you, they love to be like, you know what Einstein said the most powerful force in the universe is? Do you know the answer to that?
No.
Have you ever heard somebody say that?
I feel like I've heard
this like five times, and it's always from the people who tell me to read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Compound interest. I'm like, Einstein didn't say that shit, man. Einstein was not weighing in on fucking investment strategies, asshole.
But people always attribute like fake ass quotes to Einstein because the definition of insanity quote that people always say, like people are like, you know what Einstein said. You're like, that's not even true. And that's like, as a statement, that doesn't make sense. But
actually, Einstein thinks LeBron is the GOAT.
Einstein said LeBron is actually better than Jordan.
Yeah.
So
yeah, exactly.
What the fuck?
So hold that. It's just
some shit Einstein probably didn't care about.
But other than that, but the book tour, feeling good. It's doing well. It seems like
so. Yeah, I start on the book tour on Friday, and I think it's going to go well. I think it's. I'm this one thing I'm afraid of. Okay, so I like wrote this book, and it's really interesting when I was like approached to write a memoir. It's called like a memoir with a purpose. So it's a story about my life, but it's a story about my relationship with money, right? So every chapter is like something that happened in my life in chronological order. And then at the end is a lesson I learned about money during that experience. But it is really hard because all of a sudden you're talking about your family and you're talking about stuff like people in your family right. are maybe embarrassed to talk about. And, you know, I have right. a mother that I like, I'm no contact with. So when someone was like, write this book about your life, instantly the first thing I thought was like, oh, that's going to be tricky. Right. And I like took yeah. all this time to craft this like really fair, nuanced, you know, kind of assessment of my family. And yeah, in the end, before the book even came out, it turns out it didn't matter because my mother's family already wrote an angry letter to the publisher just based off the book jacket alone. So the book sure. tour is scary because I'm like, oh God, it's, you know, you have these people in your family.
She neither survived capitalism nor got that t-shirt. Both lies.
Right.
Yeah. Liar.
We legally dispute
you get all
that.
Paranoid, you know? Right. Like, oh, is my yeah. mom going to show up at the Grove in L.A. and try to fight me?
Oh, no.
I mean, great yeah. content for the follow-up memoir, though. You know?
Yeah. I mean, seriously.
If that does happen.
Yeah.
I've started asking my friends if they'll defend me from my mother at the Grove. And they're like, am I expected to throw a punch? And I'm like, you're not not. Like, if, yeah, if yeah. she goes yeah. swinging, like, you got to get yeah. in there and punch my mom for me.
Yeah.
This is the, yeah. the biggest thing. Yeah.
Just answer with whatever she's putting down, like that's the key we're playing in, and then we'll go from there. It's like jazz, baby.
Right.
That's right. All right. Well, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of things we're talking about today. We got so much. We got too much to get to. So I wanted to talk about Boeing at some point. They're on a heater. We'll talk about Ted Cruz, who endorsed Trump. And if his sports fandom history is any indication, that's a bad thing for Donald Trump. So good thing for whoever wins, we all lose. But this guy stinks at endorsing things. So we'll talk 100%. About that plenty more. But first, Madeline, we do like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Oh, I have the perfect one. It's Ronald Reagan FBI files. I was trying to find the declassified FBI files from the time that Ronald Reagan was an informant
yeah.
during the McCarthy era. Yeah. And this is like very
God damn
peak Madeline. It's not very current, you know, but I think this is like really the summary of everything I am interested in as a person.
Sure. I mean, it was also, right. I feel like we started talking about that too, just as like the SAG after strikes were heating up too, because all of, you can draw a straight line from all the SAG strikes directly to Ronald Reagan from like always being like, yeah, man, so my manager also owns Universal, but like, if I'm in this position as the president of SAG, yeah. you know, like, let's just kind of keep this thing going. And also, like, I'm going to fucking rat out anybody who I think is a communist. Yeah.
Right.
It's always interesting how like Ronald Reagan is somehow like at the forefront of so many things that like we're trying to figure out in this country.
Yeah, it's always Reagan. It's wild. This is like, I think like my life is just like sifting through declassified documents.
Sure. Yeah. Have you read that? I mean, they're fun though, you know, especially when you're like, they have this out here for everyone to just like fucking read.
Yeah.
And they don't think, okay. What was the video that you had where they took the audio down when you were talking? Wasn't it stuff about the CIA?
It was, yeah. Somebody was like, I'm going to need to know like the top five strangest things you think the CIA has done. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah. You can read all about these in their reading website. Room on their website.
Right.
Yeah, these are declassified things they've done. And then, yeah, the audio was removed from my TikTok, which I thought was funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Reagan thing, the thing I thought was really, really funny, which I made a video talking about this actually online, because I'm like, this is just so wild. The way the FBI recruited him was they basically pulled like a Regina George Mean Girls on him. And they were like, all of the other really cool Hollywood actors are communists. And I heard they got together and had a party and they didn't invite you and they were making fun of you. And that's right, just like so sad, Ronald Reagan. Like you should probably snitch on them because right. they're mean to you behind your back.
You're not going to like let that happen to you, right, Ronnie? Like that would be whatever. I mean, I'm not going to tell you what to do. I just thought bigger. I just thought more highly of you than what you're showing me right now. So.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Was there factually a party that like he had not been invited to where people were making
fun of
him?
There is no way to know, but I'm guessing absolutely not, because this is the kind of thing they do all the time when you have strange hobbies like I do and you just sift through the documents. You're like, oh, this is exactly the kind of little like psychological warfare tricks that the FBI did, obviously, with like COINTELPRO, and also the CIA did all around the world. So I just love that Ronald Reagan fell for it, though. He hook, line, and sinker, not even hesitating. He was like, oh, people said mean things about me?
Well, I guess I'm not a loser, so I'll tell you who I think's a communist.
He had three Lambos for sure. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's a three Lambo guy if I've ever seen one.
Three Lambo minimum. Yeah.
Minimum. Yeah.
Called him Lambo Ronnie.
What's something you think is overrated?
Okay, this is like pertaining to my book a little bit, but you know, like how people will do this thing where they're like, yeah, I'm getting good with money. I've been doing some investing. And then it's just like the Robinhood app or something like that.
Right.
You know, there's like these apps where you like buy small amounts of single stock. And I hate these freaking apps so much because I think like it almost perpetuates that kind of rich dad, poor dad, like girl boss energy where it's like, you don't nobody actually takes the time to teach you. It's like maybe a lower or middle class, like actual like person financial literacy tools that could help you. Instead, it's like, well, just, you know, investing in stock is good. So just download this app where you invest a few dollars in these single stocks and you're not getting like the value of diversification. You're not investing in index funds or mutual funds. You're not doing the things that are actually good for lower income people, but it makes people feel like they're financially responsible. So then they like never pursue the next step. Like they never actually look into what they should be doing that would be benefiting them more long term.
Right.
So I feel like there's almost like a pop finance thing going on in the world. Like we have pop psychology, you know, we also have like pop finance. And I think that's kind of the same thing that goes along with like the rich dad, poor dad thing, the single stock investment apps on your phone, you know, all of these kinds of things. Oh, also like the apps where they help you find your subscriptions and cancel your subscriptions. Like, don't get me wrong, that can be really, really useful. But showing people these apps, especially in like advertising, and saying like, well, you're broke because you're actually paying $8 a month more for one subscription service you forgot about, is just like so insulting to me. Right. That it's like beyond the pale. And like, people aren't broke because they forgot one $8 subscription service. Like, great. Yeah, you have an app that does that. That's so cool. But this whole world of pop finance kind of like, in my head, does the personal accountability thing and totally denies all of the systemic structural issues that actually affect people's real life and how they interact with money.
Right, right.
Like it's eating like too much avocado toast.
Right.
Exactly. It's like more manifestations of that same idea. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, ever since I stopped eating avocado toast, my credit score has gone up.
It was the main problem in my life.
Yeah.
And I should admit how much avocado toast I was eating up front. It was a problem both for my health, financially and physically. And for the local economy, I was told.
Right.
Just too much. I was closing down entire cafes.
There's always some version of like being like, yeah, there's a problem with like sort of X industry or like societal threat or some existential threat we have. It's like, but the solution isn't to interrogate the like the lack of regulations or the greed that got us here. It's actually that you should buy this kind of straw and then that's the solution. And then we complete, like, most people are just like, oh, thank God I've been offered this consumer solution to a problem.
Exactly.
I'm just feeding the machine.
That goes back to the Ronald Reagan thing, too, where he was like the king of deregulation. And we talk about like a lot of what's happening financially in the world, but also like socially in terms of that kind of like peak liberalization of the economy, where you're like, well, the government's not going to do anything. And we're going to have these private companies come in and they're going to solve all these problems, even if they're problems that aren't actually the main issues we should be addressing.
Right.
And they're going to offer you consumption based solutions that it puts everything on the consumer, this like personal accountability thing. And it does, we become these pop culture kind of consumers of ideology as well. So it's like, okay, when you consume the special kind of straw, you're also consuming a special kind of ideology that goes along with that. And that's where we see like our social and political issues overlap with like capitalism, just like people trying to sell you things all day long. And I think people get fatigued from that without even realizing that that's what's affecting them so adversely.
Right. And let me guess, before we get to your underrated, I want to guess what it's going to be. The Stanley mugs.
No. Right?
Aren't those so fucking dope?
They're such a good investment. Like, they hold their value.
No.
Okay. I, like you, am a humble person on the internet. I saw the video where that chick's car caught on fire and her cup still had ice in it. And yeah. I, like you, thought, now that's a cup. That's a cup. It's an impressive cup.
I love that video, though. It's like marketing. She opens the door and it's clearly frozen outside of the car, too. And it's like, it's not like you left it in the desert for fucking 3 weeks. You left it in a refrigerator for a fucking few days. And of course, there's still ice in it. But yeah, the hype. Anyway, I'm sorry. I don't mean to obscure what your actual underrated might be.
Okay, so my actual underrated one is, there's no way anybody could have guessed this. It's so underrated. I stumbled across this podcast that had 7 reviews. And I'm like, this is the most important podcast I've ever listened to in my life. And it's this woman who you can tell, she's not a performer. She's not an entertainer, you know, is the nice way to say it. And she's just kind of like, I researched some things and I think people need to know about it. And it's called The Memory Hole. And I was like, everything about this podcast is like not marketable. Like the name, The Memory Hole, come on. Like, this is not a great name for a podcast. And she is not an entertainer. But when you listen to it, it is so fascinating. And it's about like the memory wars of the 1980s. So I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with this, but basically in the 1980s, these battles broke out between like research neuropsychiatrists and therapists where they were trying to figure out how much of our memories we actually can repress when we go through like traumatic things. Mm-hmm. And so the neuropsychiatrists...
This is where the Mandela effect comes from, right?
Well, this is part of it, yes, but also like the satanic panic was tied into this. And what we keep finding is that a lot of therapists are under the impression, you know, that memories are repressed very, very often. But the people who actually research the way memory works are like, you're not finding any scientific evidence of this. So it's this wars that's been going on, especially since the 80s with the satanic panic, because you would have people come forward and be like, I have these memories of my kindergarten being taken to a satanic temple and kids were sacrificed to the devil. Right. And the adults are like, bleed the children. And then these research neuropsychiatrists are like, that's not even like, one, some of these things these kids are saying aren't even possible, but like, two, that's not how memory works. And three, the adults in their lives are like leading them, like implanting all of these thoughts in their head. So it's really interesting because by the 90s, we as a culture had kind of been like, whoa, that was a really bad thing that we all agreed that we would just believe anything a child said, even when the adults in the room were leading them and implanting memories in their head and actually messing with them a lot. But now it's been repackaged and it's come out again. So it's like this recent resurgence of this idea that everybody has repressed memories about everything. So the memory wars have been reignited. And this woman did this really great podcast. She's like a Gen X chick. And she's like, hey, I was alive in the 80s. I was in college in the 90s when everybody was still talking about repressed memories. And we just keep like, as a culture, repackaging this idea and selling it to people in different ways. It's super fascinating.
Man.
Okay. Yeah. I
have to put that one on
the list. That's super interesting. The idea that like memories are these solid things that can't be changed and you just like uncover them, like that you can like dig around in the mind and like find them, versus memory being this like malleable thing that can be affected, that you can like, there's this doctor who Elizabeth Loftus, who did a bunch of research proving that you can actually implant childhood memories in people's minds. Granted, she didn't do like the dangerous ones. She was like, here's a picture of you at Disney World with like Bugs Bunny, and like the people are like, oh yeah, I definitely remember that, and like have that memory and answer questions about that memory for years. And then turns out like Bugs Bunny's not a Disney character, you know. She
got your ass. It's a Warner Brothers IP.
Yeah. She's version of Photoshop to like create, or like a memory of a hot air balloon trip. And people, like memories are just stories that our brain tells itself. And, you know, we've been talking a lot about dreams lately, like dreams are in there. And, you know, there's a whole bunch of things that can fool you into thinking you have a memory that didn't actually happen. It's super interesting.
Yeah, I kind of picked up on that. Are you doing dry January and now your dreams are very intense? Is that what's happening?
No, I smoke a lot of weed, but I was in Japan visiting my family, and I just don't smoke weed when I'm in Japan, just because of the laws. But so I just wasn't smoking weed at all. And so I just had a natural like sort of cleanse while I was there. And very quickly, just my dreams just went to a fucking like level 13 out of 10 kind of shit. And I was like, closest I've been to lucid dreaming, I would say, because like I could wake up and I would say like, I actually want to re-enter this dream. and then I would just go right back into it. So I had never had that sort of ability or such vivid dream recall before. So yeah, that's just been a very interesting sort of dimension of my subconscious that has been dulled for a very long time. And just sort of like, yeah, re-engaging with it has been super interesting and just a trip, to be honest.
My boyfriend had the same experience. So he stopped drinking and smoking weed for Dry January, though. And he's been saying every single day, he's like, my dreams are so intense and gnarly. And I think it's one of those things you don't realize you're missing it, you know?
No,
and
for
then
real.
You have, it's like a whole inner life that you're living.
It's sort of somewhat motivated me to sort of be a little bit more, to abstain a bit more from smoking, because like there's a part of me that like I'm becoming more and more intrigued by it, that I feel like I want to be as conscious as possible for that kind of thing, like or whatever it may bring. So yeah, I'm on a bit of a journey right now, for sure.
I appreciate it. But it all does, it like ties in with the memory and the subconscious thing in a really interesting way.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
And we're back, and people might have seen the news story where a door blew off an Alaska Airlines flight.
Yeah, I caught that.
you might have noticed that. Yeah. As you were flying around the world.
Yeah.
But United Airlines was trending over the weekend because they found loose bolts on an undisclosed number of their 737s. There was just that. The most hopeful I've been that something is going to happen here is Anthony Blinken's trip from Davos had to be delayed because of a Boeing plane fucking up. So maybe something will actually get done, but probably not. You hate to see it, you know?
You hate to see it.
Like, I'm okay with those people on the Alaska Airlines flight, but a great man like Anthony Blinken at Davos, like, I just hate the idea of him
being inconvenienced
facing any sort of
in any way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because he's with serious people.
That
to
man
solve
does
our
so much.
Yeah, 100%. Totally agree. We're totally aligned.
So, first of all, just when you're releasing report of loose bolts on a undisclosed number of 737s, my request would be that that number be more, how you say, disclosed, maybe. But Twitter did its thing and tried to tie the failure of these loose bolts to United Airlines having a DEI program and being like, you know, look at the woke United Airlines CEO. He says he values DEI. That's why this is happening.
It makes the bolts blow off.
Skipping over, skipping over the very clear culprit of Boeing, the manufacturer of these airlines, who have used their massive size and, you know, just massive power, military, government relationships to evade regulations in a way that is putting all of us at risk constantly. There's a great article on it in Democracy Now. There's a Politico article. Oh, that one's about the Anthony Blinken thing. But the Democracy Now one covers like just the history of Boeing rushing to update these 737 MAX series to compete with Airbus, the European consortium. And everything, like the guy who was in charge or like one of the heads there at the time was like, everything was being rushed. We had a shortage of skilled employees. We were having all kinds of issues with quality problems. There's just incredible schedule pressure. There's a saying in the factory, they call it schedule is king. Cool. Oh, God. And then, so that guy, in response to two fatal crashes that happened as a result of this thing, that he was like, guys, this is going to fucking kill somebody. Like, if we just go forward with this, and because there's no regulations in place, because Boeing is so powerful and had lobbied and people died, he left and started the Foundation for Aviation Safety and is now saying, like, this incident with Alaska, I'm sure, is shocking to passengers. But for those of us who have been watching this for a while, it's really not a surprise at all. We've seen ever since the MAX has been put back in service over 20 serious production quality defects that have surfaced and the public is unaware. And yeah, like Boeing was criminally charged in the wake of the two 737 MAX 8 crashes, but just like negotiated a deferred prosecution agreement. But it's just, this is what we've got. Like the system doesn't even really try to work. It's like not doing any of the things that would effectively like protect consumers. But it's, you know, these companies are so big and powerful that there's just like nothing that can be done at this point, or nothing that is being done at least at this point.
It's just like, it's just one that like this, along with so many other stories in our country, are just these perfect examples of like regulatory capture, you know, like where corporate interest groups, they lobby, like whether that's through lobbying or just like the revolving door of like on Capitol Hill, like to the point where these interest groups, they end up being the ones regulating the regulators. And like with Boeing, the FAA was like, yo, we have people that we like need to inspect it. They're like, yo, bro, what if you actually just ordained our own employees to do the inspections that you're supposed to do? And we'll let you know if we find anything like, you know, on the like that might not be, you know, might be not on the level. And they're like, yeah, sure, go ahead. So it's like Boeing that did their own inspections on these planes too, and then just gave the FAA their report to be like, all right, and that's what we're saying. So that's good enough, right? Rather than having you come in as an independent body to look at like the products that we're making. And so, yeah, it's like the same thing with how like the opioid crisis ended up. Same thing with how like just, you know, our like the SEC and our subprime mortgage crisis ended up. Like there's just so many examples of these things where the industry ends up being the one that makes the rules. And then we somehow just like quite literally crash into disaster.
Yeah, this also goes back to Ronald Reagan, doesn't it? Everything goes back to these deregulatory practices and the pro-business stuff. But yeah, it is interesting. Like once you start learning too about how the lobbying groups will literally write the laws that they want passed to regulate their own industries. Mm-hmm. And very often you'll find they're supposed to be sample bills, right? These are supposed to be sample language bills. And then
copy
you look
pasta.
And when you compare the language, exactly, you're like, this wasn't even a sample. Somebody just got paid to sign this, basically. Right. And it's really, really appalling. And it is something that happens, I think, in like every area of business in the United States now. And this is why when I'm Googling things like Ronald Reagan FBI files, I'm like, if only the FBI had not told Ronald Reagan about a really cool party he wasn't invited to, maybe we would have more regulatory standards for business in this country.
Yeah.
It's really appalling.
And maybe listen to the things his parents were trying to teach him. You know what I mean? And be more in line with that. Because like our forgive me if I'm mistaken, but I thought like his parents were like sort of like had almost antithetical sort of beliefs philosophically as people.
Totally correct. His parents were FDR New Deal kind of Democrats, but not just regular Democrats. They're like kind of what we would think of as DSA today. They were very much in favor of government spending. His dad, you know, was an alcoholic who struggled to hold down a job. The job he eventually did hold down was a New Deal job. Like his dad was employed because of, you know, government spending. And this is something that we see like throughout his life, even as he's performing to the political right and doing all of these things that would be the complete opposite of anything his parents had fought for. When you asked him personally, like, well, how did you feel about the New Deal? He's like, well, the New Deal gave my dad a job, so I loved it.
Right.
And it's just like this real conflicting kind of viewpoint inside of him.
Oh, poor Ronald. Poor Ronald.
I don't know if I'd go that far.
Well, I'm an empath, you know, and that's just how I feel. There's a great book called Tear
Him
Down
and
This
Stephen
Myth.
Stephen Miller, both.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Right. Yeah. Yeah. But there's a book about Reagan called Tear Down This Myth. That was like sort of my entry point into really like examining the real mythology of Ronald Reagan. Because like growing up, you're always like, oh, man, everything's like named after him. It's like it's because all these fucking people got so rich off of him. They're like, watch this, dude. Shout out to Ronnie for taking away all the fucking guardrails that were there that just made me a hyper billionaire.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear up this ass. Oh, I'm sorry.
He should have said that.
No, you shouldn't apologize for that, honestly. Yeah. That was...
No, what was the other one? Was tear off my balls was the other one. I think.
Tear off my balls.
Tear off my balls.
Two all-time great tweets that I can't source at the moment. But
now I just think of Ronald Reagan kind of as like a general punk rock icon because, you know, like what other... way, like I was born in the 80s. Like I know so much about Ronald Reagan mostly because of punk songs from like 1985, you know?
Right, right.
But then when you look into it, you're like, actually this is all still so, so relevant to our life because the 80s really started that trend towards massive deregulation. And he was part of that movement of like the new right. And the new right was even different than what the right wing had been before the 1950s and 60s. And it really coalesced with him in a lot of ways. And so when you talk about things like Boeing's door flying off mid-flight or like the loose bolts, you think that these things are just and that's the thing, like we do as consumers, right? We think these are individual incidents, but like our brains are also trained for pattern recognition, and it's hard to miss the pattern that these things are increasing in rapidity. We see them happening across like multiple different sectors, and all of it does tie back to this massive period in the 80s of deregulation that allowed businesses to kind of start running the country as an oligarchy.
A lot of Lambos are bought, though. A lot of Lambos.
They have so many Lambos. The Lambo guys are hurting us all. And the Boeing guys are Lambo guys, too. Yeah.
We need to let the Lambo radicalize us. You know what I mean? Let's swap out Ronald Reagan, and now we will hold up the Lamborghini Huracan as our entry point into radicalization. Let that be a lesson for the youth.
I feel like one day there's just going to be a Lamborghini on our money. It's just going to be like, we're going to be like praying to the God of the Lambo. That's what's going to be on the money. There's going to be like 16 apartment buildings, just like in a cube around the Lamborghini, like the same way we have like the pyramid with the eye now. And it's going to be like, this is our new religion in the United States.
Underneath, it's like, Dad, what does this say? It's like, it's Latin. I don't know. Read it out to me. E pluribus Lambo. Oh, yeah. That means of many Lambo.
That's right. All right, let's take a quick break and come back and we'll talk about Ted Cruz.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
And we're back.
We're back.
And Ted Cruz formally announced that he will once again be endorsing the guy who called his wife ugly and claimed that his dad killed JFK. Incidentally, he has tried to square the circle of his support for Trump in recent years by claiming that both his wife and his father laughed when they were slandered by Trump. Clearly,
that clip, you know,
these insults
is
brought
so
his
wild.
Family a lot of joy.
He yeah. said, like, it because he got first pressed, I think, on the View, like, in 2022. And the way he was like, they're like, well, so what's up? Before you said Donald Trump was a vile man, and now you're like, he is the one to lead us into blah, blah, blah. He's like, so he was getting pressed, like, so are you lying then or are you lying now? And he's like, I reject that question. I tell you, Heidi laughed when he said that. And my father laughed, by the way, too. He didn't just kill Kenny. He's got Jimmy Hoffa's body buried in the backyard. But I just love the way he tried to be like, oh, yeah, like, no L's taken here. We were like, hee-hee-hee, ha-ha-ha, would he call my wife ugly? So I tell you what, we loved it. But please vote for him. Because, oh, man, the amount of people bending the knee again, is it's always fun to see. Like, Marco Rubio, he's back. Vivek Ramaswamy is on the fucking stage with him in New Hampshire, like, on Wednesday morning. Like, that shit went around wow. so quick. It was amazing. And then the Babylon Bee said he would be running the White House 7-Eleven. So I'm like, oh, wow. How's that proximity to white supremacy?
How's it feeling, Vivek?
Yeah, how's that working out for you, fam?
The main thing, though, that my main takeaway from the Ted Cruz thing is that this is maybe a good thing for the country because his endorsements do seem to carry a curse. I don't necessarily believe in curses, but I believe in people with fucked up energy that just like that everyone's like, I don't know. This feels weird right. now that guy is like in the room claiming that we're with him. So recently he tweeted his support for the Dallas Cowboys. That was over the weekend. Sure enough, despite the fact that they were favored by a lot, one of the biggest upsets in recent playoff history, they got like rinsed. They yeah. were down like 27-0 in a like right away, like right after he tweeted
they
that.
They scored a 27-pointer.
Everyone was like, oh, no. I don't think he tweeted about the Texans, who this past weekend did the opposite and like beat somebody who a lot of people thought they were going to lose to. He didn't tweet about that. He tweeted about the Cowboys, and they immediately got destroyed. Fans have attributed the loss to Cruz because he has a long history of jinxing big games for Texas teams. A few weeks ago, he took a lot of heat for attending a Texas Longhorns Sugar Bowl game that ended in a loss. And like this started years ago. He went to the Houston Rockets Game 7 loss to the Golden State Warriors in 2018, in which the Rockets missed a record 27 straight three-point attempts. He was like sitting down by the court. They like historic futility. I still remember watching that and being like, is something wrong? Like, is there something on the hoop? Like, this feels like it is defying yeah. physics how many shots these guys are missing in a row.
I really like this because theoretically this means we could weaponize Ted Cruz's curses.
Right.
And that's this right. is just a world of possibility. We got to figure out how to best utilize the curse of Ted Cruz.
New research project for you.
Yeah.
Because like, I think also too, like the 2019 Texas Tech one is also that's amazing. One, yeah. He took a selfie yeah. at the NCAA championship game and Texas Tech was up by 1 point with 35 seconds left. He posts a selfie from the stands that's 35 seconds, 1 point lead. Go Red Raiders, number one defense. They lost. And it was just, everybody was like, I blame you, Ted Cruz, for this. And he is potent. I mean, like, that's just the start. But I think this is where it begins to wobble a bit, right? Is with the Astros. Now, he's always been a big Houston Astros guy. But like this year, they faced off against the Rangers. And because he was there rooting on the Stros, you know, people are like, oh, shit, what happened? The Astros lost game 6, forcing a game 7, and then they lost. And people were like, Ted Cruz, please do not go to game 7. Please do not go to game 7 because we want the Astros to win. Rangers fans are like, Ted Cruz, please come to the Rangers and Astros game 7. We would love to have you. Please, 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 sir, please make an appearance. And then when they, like Rolling Stone published a story about this legend of his curse, of the Cruz curse on the day of game 7, he tweeted back. He's like, for 7 years, Catherine and I have attended nearly every Astros home playoff game. If they're going to blame me for our recent home losses, please also credit us for 2 World Series championships. Okay, well, y'all cheated on one of those. And 7 right. consecutive ALCSs. We were there cheering the Stros on. So like, in a way, you're like, yeah, I mean, like, where were you on that one, Cruz curse? But
he wasn't like making it a thing. He wasn't making it about himself at that time. It's like when he puts himself out right. there, he like energetically fucks the team because he is just the least inspiring human being possible.
Yeah.
So he went to that game 7 and they lost 11-4. And like it was a story heading into the game. And they were like, wait, we're playing for this motherfucker?
Like, right. Like,
that,
oh,
I don't think they lost on purpose, but like, that's going to fuck you up, man. Baseball is a weird, like, mental game where, like, if you're pitching a no-hitter, no one's going to talk to you. You don't think that, like, realizing that winning will make Ted Cruz happy will fuck up your energy? Like,
right.
Come on.
Or that Ted Cruz is, like, rooting for you? You're like, fuck, bro, Ted Cruz rooting for us?
Yeah.
Fuck. Okay, I'm really going to have to pull this shit together.
Reportedly, people betting on sports say that you will be 15-2 since 2017 if you're betting the money line against teams that Ted Cruz showed up to support in person.
So, see, to me, I mean, I'm just like...
That's a lot of L's.
Yeah.
We need like a cameo, but it's like an IRL Ted Cruz only cameo, and you can like send him to your enemies.
Right.
Like it's like hire a pox, but it's Ted Cruz. Like,
right.
Why isn't, what good is capitalism if tech isn't developing this as we speak?
Right. Or just do the thing like if you're 15-2 betting like against the teams that Ted Cruz is supporting, like we should just put together a gigantic fund, like a fucking hedge fund, to just kind of keep exponentially multiplying the dollars and be like, yo, this is a pretty good return. And we could do a lot of good. Yeah.
Please,
thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Strongest force in the universe.
Yeah. Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz's fucking sports tweets.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, Madeline, I know you have to run. It's been such a pleasure having you on the show. Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
Well, I've got the book, so you can check out the book anywhere books are sold.
Okay.
And it is, yes, called I Survived Capitalism and All I Got Was This Lousy T-Shirt. You can follow me on TikTok. I'm Madeline Pendleton there, like the wool company. And if you want to hear more about things like Ronald Reagan FBI files and conspiracy theories, I have a podcast called Pick Me Up, I'm Scared, where we talk about stuff like that all the time.
Amazing.
There you go. And is there a work of media that you've been enjoying?
Star Trek, Strange New Worlds, and Discovery.
Mm.
I'm a Trekkie. Okay. I'm a Trekkie at heart. Yeah.
I heard Patrick Stewart's coming back as Picard for something.
There's a Picard show as well. But I think that, you know, I'm a fan of the Strange New Worlds and the Discovery because they do the world building and they do the post-money world building, which is relevant to my interests.
Yeah, that sounds very woke. Have people come for Star Trek yet on the right?
I am confident they have. And I guess the real question is how many loose bolts are flying off of the Discovery as it flies through space with this woke agenda.
Because I feel like I would see some form of a tweet to like, man, Star Wars is too woke. That's why I'm a Trekkie. And you're like, cut to them being like, and this is what capitalism did to this society. And you're like, I'm sorry. Are y'all okay? Never mind.
Yeah. I feel like they can't. You would be hard pressed to like come in and be like, Star Trek used to be cool and misogynistic. And I mean, I'm sure there are old episodes, but
yeah, for sure. Yeah,
it has like pretty big, deep ideas.
Yeah, they do have big, deep ideas, but they did do an episode where it was like a horror episode in the original series. And it's just they went to a planet and at first you thought all the women were hot, but then it turns out that there was some sort of mystical illusion going on. And when you got them back to your ship, they were real uggos. So that's the worst I've seen of the original Star Trek.
Oh, no.
But there was no money. Yeah.
The worst thing possible.
Oh, we went to planet binge drinking. Oh, my goodness.
Exactly.
Miles, where can people find you? What's the work of media you've been enjoying?
Find me Twitter, Instagram at Miles of Gray. Find Jack and I on our basketball podcast, Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties. And if you love Mad trash Boosties. Reality like me to soothe the wounds of society's ills and you like watching 90 Day Fiancé, check out my other show, 420 Day Fiancé, with Sophia Alexandra. A tweet I like is from, friend of the show and great, one of the legends of the show, Andrew T, at Andrew T, tweeted, Costco should have like a separate lot where you can sit in your car for 15 minutes and have a little bite of your roast chicken, like if you want to. And I like that, just because at Costco, people see you get in your car and like, good, when are you getting the fuck out? You know what I mean? It's like, yo, I'm in the chicken lot, man. Like, you know what I'm about to do. I'm gonna have a little bite of this rotisserie chicken.
It's like the cell phone lot at the airport.
Yeah, exactly. The rotisserie chicken lot.
You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. The tweet I've been enjoying for a long time now, Mr. Gorbachev, tear up this ass, was Megan Amram. And Mr. Gorbachev, tear off my balls, was Elon Mustard at nice_mustard. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com. Where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do you think people might enjoy?
I was going through some old playlists, and I'm such a fan of this group called the Budos Band, because I was definitely in like a little Afrobeat Fela Kuti zone in college, and they have this album. This is a track called Up From the South. They're like a fantastic band. They're actually a lot of dudes. They were like a Daptone band, so like you'll know them from a lot of Daptone productions, but they came together to play their own kind of like swag, their old kind of Afrobeat vibe. So check this track out. It's really good. Up From the South by the Budos Band. Budosband.
All right. We will link off to that in the footnotes. Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, wherever fine podcasts are, give it away for free. Mm-hmm. That's going to do it for us this morning. Back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we will talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4. Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.